there in your announcements? I put mine in my wallet, and it serves as a reminder that we are to be praying. And today we are praying to remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Commandment number 4. And so why are we doing this? If you're visiting for the first time, we are and we have been drafted in among churches across America. Between now and September 11th, we are taking a commandment a week. We're fasting on Thursdays. We're praying for God's intervention in America, that the U.S., the Senate, the Congress, all those would reconsider some of the directions they're taking in that they are wanting to remove the Ten Commandments from the presence on public sites, beginning in Washington, D.C. And you may have I saw this week on Fox News that argument going on. And which led, by the way, to them dovetailing the announcement. They took their cameras down to San Diego. And I don't know if you saw this or not, but on some mountaintop down San Diego way, there is a big cross up there. And it's been there for 54 years, I think they said. And so now they want the cross removed from the hilltop because it says that it's America endorsing one particular religion. And that's wrong. So here's the thing. If we want God out of America, then I think as a nation, we're telling him to get out. Just know, according to the Bible, we're going to bear the consequences of that. God is alive, and we did ask him to bless America, but many in the nation want him to leave. I don't want him to leave, and so I want my voice to be heard. You can go to thefamilyresearchcouncil.org, www.frc.org. And let your voice be heard and pray for the Ten Commandments to be allowed. Allow that freedom to take place. And look, in Detroit, in areas outside of Detroit, Michigan, there is the Muslim Live, by the way, live Muslim call to prayer that is now announced over the city by speaker. And that's legal. But a cross publicly is not legal. And they're debating about, well, you know, you can see a cross. That's the problem. Well, In Michigan, they are hearing the cry in Arabic to come and pray live in their towns. So, pretty interesting. It's time to pray. Father, we ask you to bless, Lord, this effort to keep your word public. And a man would be a fool to think that the founding fathers did not consult you nor have your Bible public. And we've seen it in Washington. We've seen it on the streets. We've seen it in the Capitol building. We've seen it in the White House. Father, we have asked you to protect this nation. We've asked you to bless it. And Lord, there's a huge contradiction in our lives. We ask you as a country that we would honor you. And Lord, that we would do that by honoring a day of rest, a day of Sabbath in our lives, to think about your goodness, to appreciate all that you've done in our lives. So, Father, we ask you now, and Lord, we ask you now while we're at it, that you might visit us and bless the going forth of your word to our lives. We ask it now in Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen. Why don't you grab your Bibles, and this morning, we're going to have just a time together. And it's going to be a private time together. And you say, well, Jack, there's a couple thousand people here. How can that be? We're going to do it anyway. And here's the reason why. Is we are on our way to starting the book of Luke. And yet I don't want to start the book of Luke today because we have this series of teachings that's coming by way of these guest speakers in the next few weeks. So I don't want to get into Luke and then get out of Luke. But that's my opinion. The fun thing about today is what God has been working on my heart all week. And please don't raise your hand. But are you reading your daily Bible reading as a church, as we go through the Word of God together? Now, if you're visiting, like some were last service, we as a church, a couple of years ago, took the one-year Bible, and we are going through the scripture reading of that as a church day by day. And listen, remember, even if we forget a few days, or for that matter, if you have forgotten the month, don't catch up. Just dive in today's date. Okay? So we would all be on the same page at the same time as a church that we'd go through the Word of God together. Well, this week, we've been in 2 Chronicles, and we've been reading about men like King Asa and King Jehoshaphat. And during that period of time, now, church, listen, if you would allow me this, as we get together right now, today, in this study, this is going to be a time of me sharing with you what God has shown me for me privately. See, what do you mean privately? Well, I mean this, that when I study the Bible for Sundays, I'm studying more for the setting. But for me personally, privately, God will not allow me to let the Sunday message, the study of it, be my only diet. Do you know what I mean? In other words, if we eat broccoli, on Sunday, I've got to have some peaches and some mashed potatoes and some, you know what I'm saying, during the rest of the week. I can't let this time, the time I've studied for this message, I cannot let that be my diet only. Just like you, you have your biblical diet each day. This is today the frosting on the cake of your study during the week. That's Christianity. So for me, it's the same. I go to the Word daily and let God nourish me. Sunday studies and Sunday's teachings is different. It's frosting on the cake. But today's altogether different from what I've just said. I'm going to share with you what God shared with me, because as I tried to prepare a message for this day, I kept coming back to our scripture reading this week, because of what it meant to me privately. So we're going to have our Bible open, but in a real sense, it's like having my diary open or my journal open. I'm going to be sharing things. I wrote things down that are private to me, but the Lord wants me to share them with you. And maybe it will be a blessing to you. I trust that it will be. 2 Chronicles chapter 17. And we're going to touch on chapter 17. And we're going to go all the way through and touch on out to chapter 20. And this is the life of Jehoshaphat. Jehoshaphat is an amazing guy. This is what we've learned this week about him. That he's the son of Asa, King Asa. Well, King Asa, his son King Jehoshaphat, what were they kings of? They were the kings of the southern realm of a divided kingdom. Remember this? Israel had broken up into the southern kingdom, Judah, and the northern kingdom, Israel. The northern kingdom of Israel was godless. In fact, those of you who've been with us to Israel, tune in more closely right here, right now. Watch this. In the north was kings like Ahab. We'll hear about him this morning. Ahaz, others, crazy kings, nuts. These guys were wackos. They were kings of Israel, but they all endorsed and encouraged the worship of the Baals and the Ashtoreth gods of ancient Babylon. These were the kings that endorsed the people to go out into the forest and do all of their pagan worship activity. To worship in such a way that you cover all the gods and not offending any of them. And that is called a pantheistic view. And what do you find in northern Israel in Banyas today? It's the headwaters of the Jordan River. You come to the temple of who? Pan. Very good. The temple of Pan. And in the temple of Pan in northern Israel was the worship. Remember, church, we saw in Israel all of those niches cut out in the rock where you would place your pagan god and then go into all of those bizarre worship things that that god demanded of you. You would have one person right here as a smorgasbord of the gods. You would have one god like this. You would have Athena right here, and this guy would be doing all the Athena-associated worship. And then the next niche over, we've seen them with our own eyes, they would put another god in that niche, and that would maybe be Jupiter. And they would go through all the worship of Jupiter, and it was crazy. The kings of Israel in the north adopted those pagan worship systems. And you don't want to get near them. Down south, you had Judah. And you had a more godly group of people. The tribes being divided, you had a more godly group of people. And they were seeking the Lord. God had sent his prophets to both the northern kingdom and the southern kingdom of Judah. God was ministering. God was reaching out. God was moving. And it's under the reign of King Asa that we read this week that King Asa initiated priests to know the Word of God to such an extent that they were called teaching priests. And this is the life that little Jehoshaphat grew up knowing, that my dad, who's king, has summoned our kingdom to know the Word of God. He grew up like that. Jehoshaphat grew up knowing the Word of God. And a lot of this will come out in his character. He's a strong man, but he made some mistakes. Listen, you're a strong man or woman today if you know the Word of God. But do you not make mistakes? Do I not make mistakes? Yes. In fact, do we not even make well-intentioned mistakes? Truly we do, but they're mistakes nonetheless. Now, can we live a life that is void of mistakes? I don't think so, but can we live a life that is lived with less mistakes? I do think so, as we seek God. And we're going to learn three key things this morning from the life of Jehoshaphat. Number one, he was a man of the word. Number two, he's a man of prayer. Number three, he's a man of worship. The word of God, the prayer unto God, and the worship of the Lord are three things that as believers, they must be prevalent and present in our lives. Church, listen. If we are Christians, there are ways for us to be able to be found out by others. Do we know the word of God? Number two, do we pray? Number three, is it manifested by a life of worship? Are we worshipers of God? And so these things we look at. Jump in with me if you would, and we're going to touch on verses, but I really want you later. Can you remind your neighbor of this? Can you remind yourself of this? I'd love for you today to read, chapter 17 to 20 would be great. But if you could read chapter 18 and see the blunder, and we'll touch on it today, you'll do a lot better. 2 Chronicles chapter 17, listen to this. Beginning at verse 3, it introduces Jehoshaphat to our study through the Word. And in chapter 17, verse 3 to verse 7, listen to this. It says, "Now the Lord is with Jehoshaphat." Stop right there. I don't know if you can see my Bible. You guys, I've got that marked up in my Bible. "Now the Lord is with Jehoshaphat." When did I mark it? I marked it on the day of our reading. Why? Because, church, I want to be like this with the Lord. I want the Lord to be with me. Do you not want God to be with you? So I marked this. See, not knowing I was going to deliver this message, this is what I do. I mark up my Bible. And I make it almost like a journal, a diary for me. And so I come to the Word, and I know how God speaks to my heart. And I know what He wants me to do about our relationship together. Oh, not yours and mine, mine and His. Look, have you ever loved on somebody? Do you know what kind of milk they like? Is it non-fat or is it 1%? When you love somebody, look, when I go to a restaurant, I order, if you know, you ladies are, you're seated, you know, we're seated. But girls, what do you do the moment you're seated? Exactly. You go to the bathroom. Because I know Lisa, I will say she'll take tea, lemon, extra ice, and sugar. And that's her thing. I know that. Why? Because I paid attention to that, and you get associated with that over the years. I know when God speaks to me, "Jack, shut the door." See, He doesn't allow me to catch my devotion on the freeway on the way. He won't. And plus, I'm severe ADD. I think you know that by now. Yes, so many of you have been wondering, is he? Yes, I am. Okay, that's why I only need about 3 to 4 hours sleep a day. And, you know, that, and away I go. Terrifying. You should be thankful you don't live with me. But for the Lord to speak to me, I've got to get shut out from the world in most aspects. That's true. When it comes to the reading of the Word, I've got to get alone. And I got to have a pen. God will not let me read the Bible without a pen in my hand. And I'll read, and when I'm reading, "Now the Lord is with Jehoshaphat," I circle it and I wrote off to the side, "The key." That's the key. God, make this real in my life. "Because he walked in the former ways of his father David," that is his ancestral father David. Asa was his dad. He was from the lineage of David. "And he did not seek the Baals," or the foreign gods. Verse 4, "but sought the God of his father and walked in the commandments and not according to the acts of Israel." That's Israel to the north. "Therefore," verse 5, "the Lord established the kingdom in his hand." Church, Christian, mom, dad, husband, wife, do you not want your home to be established? Do you not want your city, your job, the company, whatever you do, do you not want your ministry, your influence to be established by the Lord? Absolutely. The last thing you do not want to do is have you go around establishing your authority or your kingdom or your whatever, because now it's an attempt of man and your kingdom building outside of God. Let God establish your life. If you're a husband, listen, let God establish the biblical place for husband in your life. If you go around and say, submit, woman, guess what she is not going to do in this lifetime? She will not submit. If you go up to your husband and say, love me, he won't. It's got to be a God deal. God caused him to love me. God caused her to love me. God established my authority. Or I should say, God established your authority through me. Whatever the setting might be, let God do that. He was a man of the word, and he was brought up that way. So in chapter 17, verses 3 through 7, I want you to make note of it. He was a man of the word. That's the number one thing we're looking at, a man of the word. And so it says here, verse 4, that he sought God. Verse 5, therefore the Lord established the kingdom in his hand, and all Judah gave presents to Jehoshaphat, and he had riches and honor in abundance. Is that a sin for him to have that? It may be a sin for me to have it, or it may be a sin for you to have it, but God blessed him that way. That's between him and the Lord on this one. Jehoshaphat had stuff. And he never gets in trouble, by the way. If you keep reading, he never gets in trouble for having stuff. So God's blessing him. And by the way, the Old Testament manifestation of God's blessing, look at Abraham and Job and those guys, it was stuff. They had a lot of stuff. They had zillions of cattle. They had zillions of sheep. God blessed them with stuff. That's the Old Testament picture. In my opinion today, what God blesses the New Testament church, how do you know God's presence in your life? It's not the manifestation of stuff to me. I believe the Bible teaches it's the manifestation of love coming out of you. It speaks about the presence of God in your life. So look, it says in verse 6, and his heart took delight in the ways of the Lord. Moreover, he removed the high places and wooden images from Judah. Verse 7, also in the third year of his reign, he sent his leaders. And look, from verse 7 down to verse 8 are the list of these names. Look, this is what he does. Jehoshaphat says, all right, you guys, come together. Look at verse 9. So they taught in Judah, and they had the book of the law, the Old Testament, the first five books, the book of the law. And the Lord was with them, and they went throughout all the cities of Judah and what? Taught the people. Verse 10. And the fear of the Lord fell upon the kingdoms of the lands that were around Judah so that they did not make war against Jehoshaphat. Wow. When they put their heart to the word of God, God blessed them. God blessed Jehoshaphat. He blessed the men and women underneath him. And he blessed the communities under Judah. And not only that, God in his divine intervention kept the enemies back from attacking. I just found that interesting. This is just a private thought. It may mean something to you or may not. I think it is God only that can get the credit that we have not been terrorized since September 11th. Period. I'm going to say something that's really hard, but I didn't say it. I heard it. I had someone turn to me last week in Europe, or the week before, whenever I was there last. And this European said to me, do you know what the difference is between what happened in London and what happened to you guys in America? And I could have thought a lot of differences, but it caught me off guard. What? When you guys got hit on September 11th, you guys filled up churches, people went to stadiums and prayed. Yeah? And so what? We took off and went to the bars and got drunk in England. We went to the pub. You went to prayer. We went to the pub. We've been hit again and again. You haven't been hit yet since. Now, regardless of you might say our law enforcement is doing a great job, but they also know it's got to be God that's keeping us. So listen. Oh, go ahead. It's God keeping us. Give him the glory. So here you see Jehoshaphat dedicated to the word of God. Jack, God says to me, devote yourself to the word of God. Yes, Lord. Done deal. Point number one. Done deal. Also under point number one is a negative that I don't like, but I learn from. Turn with me to chapter 18, I should say. Chapter 18, look at verses 1 and 2. Jehoshaphat had riches and honor and abundance, and by marriage he allied, circle the word allied. I marked it, and I'll tell you why in a moment. He allied himself with King Ahab. Oh, no. No, I didn't even have to study about this one. I circled it. I underlined the word ally. I looked it up later what it meant, but I wrote off to the side in my Bible, which is very much like my diary, I guess, or I don't have a diary. My Bible is my diary. wrong. It's wrong when we begin to add to what God has done. It's wrong for us to add. What is he adding? What's Jehoshaphat had riches and honor and abundance. What does that mean in an Old Testament sense? God bless Jehoshaphat. But Jehoshaphat took it into his own hands to ally himself. The word means to come up and join ranks, to become hip to hip, shoulder to shoulder with who? King Ahab. What's with him? He's a bad guy. He's the king of the north in Israel. He's a nut. He's the guy that's saying, worship whatever. Let's make a temple to all these gods and let's do whatever. Down in Judah, they're worshiping the Lord. Up north, they're worshiping everything as Lord. Are you with me, everybody? The Bible tells us as Christians that we are not to fellowship with darkness. That if a brother is even in sin, we're to speak to them and show them their sin. But if they continue on, to leave them alone. Why? So that they may sense that they've been ostracized by God, by manifested by the brethren, and they will repent. And the moment they repent, what are we supposed to do? Receive them back in, aren't we? Into the fellowship of believers, says Galatians 6, verse 1. So he allied himself. That's a negative. That's not a good thing. That's a bad thing. And what happens? Church, read this chapter later. I'll give you an overview real quick. This is amazing. Ahab is an absolute nut, and this is what happens. Hey, Jehoshaphat, come on up and visit us. So Jehoshaphat goes on a visit. He goes to this nutty kingdom, godless kingdom, to a nutty and godless king. When he shows up, there's all of this offering and all of this tribute and all of this stuff. In fact, verse 2 says, "In some years, after some years, he went down to visit Ahab in Samaria. And the abundance was provided for him, and they made this big deal, big barbecue. Let's put it that way. There's this big barbecue. Hey, come on. And so King Jehoshaphat comes up, and he's persuaded by all of this pomp and glory. Trumpets are blowing. I mean, you've seen heads of state, right? I mean, the countries can be at absolute war together, but when the guy's plane lands, there's a trumpet, so there's trumpeters in the carpet, and they act like they're friends. It's hilarious to me. And all this pomp and glory. Here's Jehoshaphat. Number one, he allied himself. Bad move, number two, he goes and hangs out with the king of Israel. Not a good thing. And he shows up there, and watch what happens. There's this big, you know, party. Hey, drink and eat and all this stuff. Okay, now, by the way, look at the evil guy has no problem getting to the point. Here's what he does. Read it later for exact detail. He goes like this. Hey, Jehoshaphat, nice to have you here. I was thinking, we're about ready to go to war with our enemies. Why don't you join us? Why don't you get your people, join us, and we'll go to war together. And Jehoshaphat, in that moment of political pressure, Jehoshaphat says, well, as you are, I am, and as my people are, so are your people with us. And in other words, we're one. Do you see what's going on here? He began in the Word of God, everything's going great, everything's fine, but he begins to compromise. So watch what happens. Let's go to war. And then there's a call to have the prophets speak regarding our success. So Ahaz, who has no prophets of God of his own, announces, we need the prophets. These are a bunch of pagan lunatic prophets. They come up and they say, all right, this is what we prophesy to you, O king. You're going to do great. You're going to rob the enemy. You are going to do so good. It's going to be wonderful. Next prophet shows up. Hey, oh, mighty Ahaz, you know, long live Ahaz. You're just going to be great, man. It's going to be, you know, shock and awe. Go to war. All these prophets come by. And Jehoshaphat is starting to feel uncomfortable. And he goes, is there not, Ahaz, a prophet of the Lord here? Do you hear the question? He's doubted every one of those previous prophets. Why? How could he, listen, church, how did he know what was being said was wrong? He knew the Word of God. He discerned the Word of God. He had enough Bible in him to know something's wrong. So he says, can you call me a godly prophet? And Ahaz says, we have one guy, Micaiah, but I hate him. He says, I hate him. And Jehoshaphat says, you ought not talk about God's prophets like that. He says, I hate him. Why? Because he never tells me what I want to hear. Stop right there before we continue in chapter 18. Church, on any given Sunday, I can be your hero or I can be your worst nightmare. wasn't Pastor Jack nice today? You know what? I'm not coming back. It's like that every week. Truly. It depends. The cool thing is, if I'm standing on the Word of God and I deliver what God gives me to deliver, I'm not responsible for what you do with it. I am responsible with what I do with it. Okay? So watch this. The prophet comes, I should say, the attendant goes to where the prophet lives, and it sounds like, doesn't say, it sounds like he's in prison. Almost like he's in house arrest. Because the guy comes and says, all right, listen, the king has summoned for you. You go before the king and you tell him nice stuff. None of this accurate, real stuff. So the prophet of God says, all right, whatever. And he shows up and there's two thrones. It says there's a throne for Ahab and a throne for Jehoshaphat. They're there. And so the prophet comes up and he's the prophet of God. And you can almost feel it. The other previous guys, they've got rings everywhere on their noses, around their ears and necks, gold robes. Yes, yes. It's going to be a wonderful victory. You're going to succeed. It's going to be awesome. And go, go, go. You can do it, Ahaz. Everyone pumped up. From Ahaz's mouth, we know, or Ahab's mouth, we know that those prophets told him what he wanted to hear. Here comes the man of God, and he says, okay, you're going to go. You're going to have a great day, and it's going to be fine. And the king goes, I can't stand this guy. He never tells me the truth. Now, here's Ahab discerning that the prophet is just up there by duress. And you, can you imagine this prophet, his face? Can you imagine what he said? All the other guys are going, you can do it, king. You can do it. Now, here comes Micaiah, and he comes up and he goes, you're going to win. It's going to be a great battle, great victory. Have a nice day. The king knew it wasn't in his heart. It wasn't from God. And so he said, speak to me. And his attendant slaps the prophet in the face. Speak nice to the king. Speak accurately. All right, I'll speak accurately. You're going to die today. You're going to get killed. It's going to be a disaster. In Jesus' name, amen. And here's, now watch this. You've got lunatic Ahab here. You've got this ridiculous manifestation of these prophets. You've got God's prophet now telling the truth. You've got poor Jehoshaphat, who, by the way, put himself in that situation, sitting there, and he's watching, like visiting some crazy person's house. Have you ever been to somebody's house and you think, maybe we shouldn't have come? You know, you ever feel that? And you kind of go, I think we really need to keep moving now. Can you imagine Jehoshaphat? He's watching this. Oh my gosh, what did I do? Just act normal, be a diplomat. Oh man. And then the prophet of God comes and speaks. Oh, am I in trouble? Uh-oh, no, what do I do? He's in trouble and he knows it. He's allied himself with a bad guy. Have you ever allied yourself with a bad guy? Have you ever hooked your wagon to something? You can't get it off. It's easy to hook on to any campaign, any kind of thing, any kind of promotional, any kind of company. Has some company come to your company and said, just link up with us, and boy, it's going to be great for you. Watch out! Oh, if you just join with our team, oh, it's going to be great. Be careful! But Jack, you don't understand. They're offering me $5 million if I just sign. Watch out! Who you ally yourself with? Be careful who you join hip to hip with. Yeah, but the guy's a Christian. If he's a Christian, make a contract and have him sign it. If he's a Christian, he'll have no problem signing the contract. So many Christians get into deals and they go, man, we didn't sign a deal. And now the guy took the company from me and he was a Christian. Okay, number one, how do you know he's a Christian? Because he said he was. You know what? I ought to let you have it. You know? Satan's going to walk around and say he's a Christian for crying out loud. Everybody's a Christian if they want to close the deal. You know what I mean? Go try to buy a car today. And you'll see the little dove on your check. Oh, you're a Christian? Yeah, I'm a Christian just for that. I'll tell you what, we're going to take $500 off of this column right here, right now. Just know this. That $500 is going to fall off the column. It's going to run across the street or run into the table, collect about another $1,000 to it, and jump on some other column. And you walk away saying, I bought it from a Christian. I did. It's cool. God must have been in it. Bought it from a Christian. And then you do the paperwork, and your husband or your wife, you know, say, well, what are you doing? Did you see this? They tacked on. What is that? I don't know, but I bought it from a Christian. Watch out. If the person's a real Christian, have them sign a contract. If the person's a real Christian, they're going to keep their word. They won't shy away from signing the contract. So listen, he's in trouble now. And man, he's watching all this stuff happen. So the king, hello, the king, Ahab goes, I tell you what, this is such a great day. We're going to go to war now, and I've got a plan. Jehoshaphat, why don't you dress up like the king? And I'll dress up like a normal infantry guy. How's that? Excuse me? How about you dress up like a sucker? And I don't. Let's go to battle, and you look like a guy that's in purple robes with a crown on his head. You know, so the enemy can identify you. And I'll just blend in with all the millions of other guys. That's what he says. And Jehoshaphat, it doesn't say Jehoshaphat says, okay, or whatever. He didn't, apparently didn't say anything. He just kind of like, all right. He goes. He's got to be terrified, though. He goes into battle, and watch this. The king of Syria says, all right, as we invade Israel, find the king and kill him. Now, if you know Middle Eastern thinking, if you've studied Middle Eastern culture, that's not strange to you. You want to know why? Because even to this day, and it always has been for millennia, your victory is not over until you kill the king. That's the Middle Eastern thinking. Actually, it's quite brilliant. They know how to fight. Go ahead and go to war, but the war's not over till the king's dead. You guys, it's carried over into the Western world in the game chess. Who do you take to end the game? You've got to conquer the powers that be. That's why, ladies and gentlemen, and you're going to have to take my word for this, it was on the internet for less than 24 hours on September 12th, and it was pulled off. I had a chance to read it later. But the World Trade Center was attacked on September 11th because that was our financial core. What else was attacked, ladies and gentlemen? The Pentagon, because it is our, what? Military core. The aircraft, Flight 90, was it 93? Flight 93? We should never forget that number. And I'm embarrassed to, I think it's 93. Went down in Pennsylvania because of that wonderful, heroic passenger list of people that said, let's do it. Let's take this plane down. Because they had received through cell phone calls that they were possibly heading for the White House or for the Capitol. We know now from Al-Qaeda documents they were not heading for the White House. Did you know that? That's a confirmed fact. That plane was not going to go into the White House. That plane was to go into the Capitol building where our leaders were at. Financial corps, military corps, governmental corps. All those things. Thank God two of them were only hit. The third one wasn't, and the fourth one wasn't. You know what the fourth one was? Take out the king. I can't give you details, but the king was under attack that day. Bush was under attack, which explains, by the way, his 3 hours of being gone. I got news for you. Bush's 3 hours, two of those hours, he was out over the Atlantic. And the United States Air Force was dealing with the threat. And they dealt with it. The king was under attack. They didn't attack the White House. They were attacking the mobile White House, Air Force One. And that didn't happen. Our Air Force stopped it, thank God. In the Middle Eastern mind, you take out the king, you got the kingdom. So, take out the king of Syria says. Take out the king, we got it. The problem is, who's dressed up like the king? Jehoshaphat, is it his kingdom? No. He's a long way from home. Don't you feel like that when you're sinning against God? I'm a long way from home. I want to go home now. You know that feeling? I want to go home now. Drive me home. Can you imagine? Jehoshaphat, oh man. And it says here in chapter 18, he cries out to God. I want to know what he cried out. God! And it says God heard him and God delivered him. Okay? And it says that there was a Syrian archer who randomly took out his arrow and shot it into the air. Have you ever seen CNN? When those guys are in the street shooting guns in the street? Imagine that. Oh, we're winning. They're shooting arrows. Whing, whing. One guy goes, okay. Whing. Sends a random arrow out into Never Never Land, and it lands between the armor of Ahab right in his back and pierces his back. Randomly, it says. And he says to his chariot driver, take me away, I've been wounded. And it says that they propped him up as he went away. I'm sorry, that's got to be hilarious. He's going down the road like this. I am really in pain. He's dying. This is when sunset came, he died. Jehoshaphat, no wonder why. Look at this. All of this, my friend, regarding the word of God and obeying it. Verse 1 of chapter 19. Then Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah, returned safely to his house to Jerusalem. You can see him just wipe his brow. Whew. Wow. That's amazing. Look at point number 2 this morning. Jehoshaphat became a man of prayer. I think after that, you would become a man of prayer. And you know what? When you escape things by the grace of God, do you not pray and thank Him? Do you not? Look, if you are a nut, you're crazy. If you think, whoa, you know, wow, I just made it out of that thing. It's okay, God, I got out of it on my own. I got it from here. What, are you crazy? It's like the guy that was swimming. His boat sinks and he's 10 miles from shore. Oh, God, if you just save me, I'll give you my life. I'll give you my life. I'll give you everything I own. So God, hey, it's nothing for me to save the guy. That's a good deal. The guy's a zillionaire, and so I'll save him. So the guy's crying out to God, oh, God, I'm going to die. I'll give you everything. I'll give you all, you know, this and that. And he's making pledges and promises to God. Now he's only 5 miles from shore. He's dying, though. He's hurting. So he's only now 1 mile from shore. God, I'll give you the rest. I will enter the ministry. And he's swimming. God, save me. And he gets to the shore. Oh, he stands up. He looks around. Oh, I made it. It's okay, God, I made it. Forget all the stuff I just said. Not knowing it's God that got him through. Jehoshaphat made it through, but he knew that God got him through it. And so he gives God the glory. How so? He prays to him. Jehoshaphat became a man of prayer. Look at chapter 20 and look at verse 1. It happened after this, that the people of Moab and the people of Ammon and others with them, besides the Ammonites, came to battle against Jehoshaphat. Then some came and told Jehoshaphat, saying, a great multitude is coming against you, and they give the directions from which they're coming. Look at verse 3. I marked it down and made it part of my life. And Jehoshaphat feared and set himself to seek the Lord and proclaimed a fast throughout all of Judah. Watch this. So Judah gathered together to ask help from the Lord, and from all the cities of Judah they came to seek the Lord. And I love verse 5. Jehoshaphat stood in the congregation of Judah and Jerusalem and in the house of the Lord before the new court. And this is what he said. In verse 6, he begins to pray. And you guys, you can read it later. It's a wonderful, wonderful prayer about, and here's where we get the word chronicles. He prays the chronicles of God. You see, what do you mean chronicles of God? The word chronicle in Hebrew means the events of God or the events of man or the events of people or the events of a nation. The record. He begins to pray. Church, watch how he prays. This is precious because I need you to combine these two points. Is Jehoshaphat a man of the word? Yes. Did he have the word taught throughout all of Judah? Yes. Was he brought up with the word? Yes. He's got the Bible. Excellent. Number 2. Is he a man of prayer? Yes, he not only prays, he calls the nation to prayer. Good. But what we find out about Jehoshaphat now is the key to our spiritual success for every one of us. He uses the word of God in his prayer to establish or to enjoy spiritual success. Note that. He uses the Bible because he goes through this litany of exploits of God. For example, he says, did you not deliver Abraham? Did you not do this regarding the nation of Israel? Are you not his friend? God would say yes to those things. He said to God, did you not do this and did you not do the other? Are you not the God of the entire world? God would say yes to this. He prayed Bible. You want to have success in your spiritual development? Pray Bible. John 15:7. Jesus said, if my word abides in you, you may ask what you will and it shall be done unto you. What's the key? Pray Bible. This is important, and I let you into my journal right now. When I go to read our daily reading, or when I open the Bible, period, I'll have a pen either stuck in my Bible or in my hand. I open the reading, I have my pen. When I'm reading, I let God speak to me from what is written. If I'm reading along, and for example, it's easy for me to find it. The black is so heavily marked in my Bible. It's 20 verse 3. And Jehoshaphat feared and set himself to seek the Lord. I marked that and I wrote down great prayer. And I wrote down that I need to do this. This is what I need to do. So all of a sudden, watch, church. Have you ever been tempted that, okay, I read my daily Bible reading. Now what do I pray for? I don't know. I want to tell you right now, I never had that problem because I used to have that problem. And I hated that problem. So how do I combat that problem? I take a pen when I read. I circle, for example, I've got three things circled on this page. One of them is this. It's in verse 15. Do not be afraid nor be dismayed because of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours but God's. I circled that, and now when I ended that day of reading, in our daily reading, I came back and I prayed and meditated upon those circles I made. Like this. Do not be afraid nor be dismayed. Lord, I ask you to allow me, please, God, cause me to never be dismayed or to never be afraid. And Lord, don't let me ever be afraid of a great multitude, be it good or bad, be it friendly people or foe. Don't let me be afraid, Lord. Please, I ask you in Jesus' name to not let this happen. And Lord, I also pray this. Help me to understand every day more and more that the battle is not mine, it's yours. So, Lord, I know that you're going to answer my prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. And you guys, I get up and I go do my day. I don't worry about it. Why? Because I have consulted with the God of the universe who has given me the word of all time. And he's promised me that he's going to do this. And I don't worry about it. I'm free. Well, aren't you panicking? Look at all those people that are coming to attack you. I am not afraid. Why? Because God has made a commitment to me that he's got to keep. He can't break his word. And so I rest. What am I going to do? Worry about it? When I begin to worry about it, I'm taking the problem from God and I can't do anything about it. Why afflict yourself like that? Give it back to him. Take the word of God. Jehoshaphat knew it. Take prayer. He knew how to do that. And he coupled the two together and he had success. God's way, I might add. Look at verse 17 of chapter 20. I hope you mark it and make it your prayer. This is what's spoken to Jehoshaphat from the prophet of God. You will not need to fight in this battle. But look what you do have to do, church. Are you guys with me? You're so quiet. Are you here? Look at verse 17. Position yourselves. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. Now listen. You guys watch this. You got to watch me. You see this? I have shoes on right now. Okay? These shoes are going to go where I go. Unless I kick them off. My shoes will be over there, and I'm going to go in another direction. Okay? I have my feet, according to the book of Romans, prepared and shod, I should say, wrapped with the preparation of the gospel. Okay? This is the ability to proclaim the word of God or have it lived in my life. Just in my little story right now, okay? Right here. Okay, if I go this way, the word of God goes with me. That's why I am not going to sit in the counsel of the ungodly, Psalm chapter 1. I'm going to walk on the path of his word, which is a light and a lamp unto my feet and unto my path. Okay, I don't have my keys with me, but if I did, on Friday morning, we have 5 a.m., we have missions prayer meeting right here in that front row. But I come from this direction and there's not a light on to save a mouse. And it's dark in here. I grab on my keychain a little LED light and I squeeze it. It's a blue light, but it's bright. And I'll come out here and I have no problem negotiating these steps because I've got my light and we pray right here. We line up right here and we pray. And as long as I have my light, I don't stumble. I'm doing okay. Everything's fine with that light in my hand. Thy word, the Bible, and notice it's a prayer. Thy word, he's praying. He's praying Bible. The psalmist, thy word is a lamp, is a light to the path, to my feet. Watch this. Thy word is a flashlight in my hand. Thy word is a torch on a narrow path. Thy word is a... what's practical? Your word. Now watch this. If we have the word of God in our lives, now watch. I'm to go this way, but if I so choose, if I will to go against what God has declared a success spiritually, and I do my own thing, hey God, I love you, and I do love you, and I know the gospel, I do know it, and I know what your word says, but I'm going to go, but, you know, whenever there's a but, there's big buts in our lives all the time, by the way. God will say, go left, and we'll go, but, and we've all got that kind of but thing going on with God, but, and then we'll butt heads with God when we have a but in our life. And so God says, go this way. And I go, yeah, okay, but I just want to get a drink of water at Joe's Bar and Grill. And you wind up getting drunk. Or I'm just going to look at this. I'm not going to go any further than that. And you wind up getting involved in pornography. You are equipped to go one way and you wind up going the other way. That ought not to be. It happens. What do? Listen. Jehoshaphat made an evil alliance, didn't he? God spared him. And God will spare you. But did Jehoshaphat pay a price? He did. He did pay a price. The judgment of God was on him. Read it later. But God spared him in the end. But you don't want to live like that. You don't have to live like that. Now watch this and we'll end with this. Third and final point, we'll end here. Jehoshaphat became a man of worship. Well, that's inevitable. Say, what? Yeah, he had to become a man of worship. Why? Because he was a man of the word and he was a man of prayer. Guys, listen. In chapter 20, look at verse 18. It says, down at the end, that Jehoshaphat bowed his head with his face to the ground, and all Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem bowed before the Lord, and they what? They worshipped the Lord. And look at the end of 19, all of the priests, they sang praises to the God of Israel with voices loud and high.
Well, the worship was sure loud today.
It should have been louder and higher. It hurt my ears. I understand that. But we are to worship the Lord loud and high, he says. Look at look at verse 22. And when they began to sing and to praise, interesting, huh? Look at verse 28. And they came to Jerusalem with stringed instruments, harps, trumpets, to the house of the Lord. Interesting, huh? What does this mean? You cannot be a man of the word or a woman of the word or a man or woman of prayer without being a man or woman of worship. It's impossible. Why? Watch this. Because when you have the word and the difficulties of life cause the word of God to be called upon in prayer. Uh-oh, let's pray. What are you going to pray? You want to know the Bible so you can pray. If you can't or you don't know how to pray, it's because you don't know the word. And Jesus already told us to pray the word. But if you know the word in life's difficulties, then you will pray rightly, understanding what the will of the Lord is. When God has his way in your life and mine, it automatically leads to worship. You will worship. This is what is an indictment upon the Western church today. We claim to know the word, we claim to be people who pray, but you can't really qualify that in a public setting. How do we know that's true in a public setting? Like this right now. There's only one way for you to be identified as a believer rightly, and that is what Jesus said, the Father is spirit, and he's seeking such to worship him in spirit and in what? Truth. That is knowledge according to the word of God. When we worship the Lord with the right brain, with the right understanding of God's dealing with our lives, we will worship rightly in the Spirit based upon the Word of God. And it's all connected with how we pray. Now watch this. If you are not a worshiper of the Lord God of heaven and earth, there's a good chance you don't know how to pray to Him. And there's a good chance you don't know the Word. And there's a good chance you may not know Him at all. Because people who know Him have read his love letters. How can you say you know somebody when you haven't read their letters? I met a couple of months ago. They got married and they have a family now. You know how they met? They met over the internet in the chat room thing. Now, I don't encourage that for anybody. And they don't even encourage it. They wound up so much communicating, this is my point, to one another, that they wound up knowing one another in communication. So that when they met one another, what they looked like didn't even matter to them anymore because they had so conversed with one another. That is both the danger and the benefit, I guess, of the internet. What are you going to get? What's going on? That's scary. But watch this. God writes a love letter to you and says, know me. And know yourself, by the way. And we don't read it. We don't pray. And we come to church like this. You know what? It's okay. They probably have one more worship song left and then you know, we'll go. Oh, we don't need to hurry to worship. It's only our part to God. Who cares about that? Let's just rip God off and I'll just go and I'll do my Christian time and away I leave. You say, Jack, don't you understand if you talk like this, the church is going to get smaller. Do you understand? I don't care. You may find this shocking. My wife, my family knows, I do not like to be up front. I don't like attention. I don't like it. I'll avoid it. I hate it. What are you doing? You're in front of thousands of people right now. I'm being obedient right now. I don't need to win you to be, I don't need that. I have him. Look, you guys, when the world turned its back on me, there was nobody but God only. And I'm grateful for that now. I know at the end of the day, I can say something that will cause you to hate me, and I can say something that will cause you to love me. And then I can make a mistake and be misunderstood, and you may have loved me and now you hate me, or you may have hated me and now you love me, and you don't know what you think. I will never know that, nor do I need to know. All I know is that he died for me on the cross. He loves me. And if everybody else doesn't, it doesn't matter, because collectively, if the world did, it would be a drop in the bucket to his great love for me. And that's all I need. Here's the beauty about worshiping. You have to worship if you know him. Close your Bibles. We'll end with this. They worship the Lord. The worship team, they're going to come forward and get ready and they can come on out. But you guys, I'm asking you as a church to put worship premium on the list. In fact, if we were really biblical as a body of believers, if we were really biblical, you know what we would do? We would have the Bible teaching first and the worship after the Bible teaching. And we have the reverse. And there's reasons why we have to do that. It has nothing to do with spiritual reasons, by the way. I'm tempted a long time ago to do it that way, and it devastated the children's ministry for reasons I don't need to go into right now. You guys, we should actually be lining up to get into this place so that we might worship collectively, corporately, the Lord our God. Because when he's touched and blessed by our worship, then he responds by the giving of the word. But biblically, in the scriptures, and by the way, in your own life privately, you get up with your cup of coffee. You know how it is. You get up. It's early morning. It's Monday. And you have your coffee and you're opening up your daily Bible reading, the one year through the Bible. And you're there and you start reading and you're sipping your coffee and you're reading and you're looking and what? Wow. What? Oh, my gosh. Really? I'm going to circle that and pray about that in the end. Oh, my goodness. You close it. God, I'm coming to you. Don't let that happen to me. That happened to that guy. And when you pray like that, then you start saying, thank you, God, for protecting my life at all. Thank you for loving me at all. You see, it's the word of God that spawns worship. Jesus taught the people and they said he has done great and marvelous things and he has taught us very well. Interesting, huh? Church, I'm just simply inviting you to make worship a premium in your Christian experience. Okay? Let's do that. Father, we ask you to bless now. We know your word. We see what happened with Jehoshaphat, both good and bad. We ask you, Lord, as a church and as people, I ask you for myself, my family, that, Lord, you would spare us from making alliances with the wrong people in the wrong direction. And Father, at the same time, may we be consulting your word, praying, Lord, to your throne and worshiping before your face. May we do that now. In Jesus' name. Let's stand as we worship Him together.
We're going to close with a different song than we intended to, but you guys know the words. In fact, we just went through them. Lord, You are good. Your mercy endures forever. Amen.